Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you love us. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for freedom to meet openly for the only purpose of learning more about you, what you've done for us, and how we should live. I pray you bless this time. Help me to be clear. I pray it would be only what you want me to say. And I pray that all of us would hear your word accurately, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, and that it would make a difference, Lord. For you, for your glory, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Uh-oh. Can I have the projector on, please? I want to say thank you again to those who helped with the work day yesterday. It was amazing, everything that got done. That was incredible. We all appreciate it. This is my work day project. And I hope that I'm not shocking today. The title today is Christianity is a Put-On. Just so you know, one of the definitions for a put-on is a prank or a pretense. It's a hoax. Or it can be affected manner or behavior, pretentiousness, hypocrisy. It can be put on. David Zimmerman. How are you? Good. Who is that guy? No helping. It's a little bit blurry, but who is it? Who? Go ahead. Isaiah. It's a fireman. That's exactly right. Okay. A football player. Who's that? A law enforcement officer. Who's that? You know, that's harder. That's a hard one. And children know? Who's that? Except a beggar. Same thing. Right. A homeless person. A person who's begging. You got it. Good. Who's that? If you ask for kid input, you got to deal with it. A businessman. Who's a chef? Thank you. And who's that? A spy. Somebody else said? Robber. Okay. How did you know? How do you know what those people are? Okay. How do you know who all those people, like the fire person, the law enforcement officer, how did you know who those people were? We know what they are by what they put on. Their suits. Their clothing. By what they put on. Definition of put. And to do too with this, to move or place something, to put something in its proper position. On, of course, dictionary can make anything complicated. So as to be or remain supported by or suspended from, put your package down on the table, to be unified with, etc. I didn't put the title slide here again, but Christianity is a put-on. We're working through the book of Colossians, and we're in the middle of chapter 3. Today's theme is we should dress according to our identity. We should put on that which corresponds to us. Like the firefighter puts on what he or she wears for their job. And the same thing with Christians. We should put on the lifestyle of the new person. Colossians chapter 3, and I have one sentence that at least sort of sums it up. That sort of sums up three chapters of this wonderful book. It's a sentence that has three parts in it. The first part is chapter 1, Jesus Christ is God. And I'm going to read just because I love these verses. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. To deny the deity of Jesus Christ, to say that Jesus Christ is anything but God in human flesh is heresy. That's not negotiable. It's not a new heresy. It was happening in Colossae less than 30 years after Christ went back to heaven. If you run across that heresy, take them straight to Colossians 1. Can you see the gray up there, just for curiosity's sake? Joe, can you see the gray? Kind of. Okay, that means no. Got it. Chapter 1, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God, chapter 2, and you have been filled full of Him. Many Christians don't get this part of it. He is God, and you have been filled full of Him. And we had a glass here. And we took the glass and we just poured into it. It just kept pouring and it overflowed, and there was a little gasp when that happened. And the reason is because you don't expect it to be filled with overflowing. Colossians 2, 8-10. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. It's one of the most astounding verses in the Bible. Three of the most astounding verses in the Bible. Like the coach that was gearing up his team, he said, I'm going to give you the goal. Do you want to have goals? Yes! I'm going to give you your goal. Yes! Here's your goal for the season in one word. Yes! Super Bowl! Well, it wasn't one word, but it was their goal, right? So anyway, it's three verses, not one. Christ is all of God. And if you've been born again, you have all of Him. You don't have the deity part. You're not God. You don't have omniscience. You don't have omnipotence. But you have access to all of His character. The Apostle Paul had no more of Jesus than what you do. Chapter 3. Jesus Christ is God. You've been filled full of Him. Therefore, live as if it were really true. And the verses for that we sang this morning, and also our verses today. Therefore, where Paul starts into his application for the whole passage, our applications are rooted in the Scripture. Paul gives the teaching first, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, and then 4, 5, and 6 is application. It's based on the Word of God. Or Colossians 1 and 2. The theory, if you will, the nuts and bolts, the how, or the what, I guess. And then 3 and 4, or the how to put it into practice. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, and that's assuming that you have because it's directed to believers, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And we start getting into, well, this is application. And again, it's act as if it were true. And I don't like the word act. Behave as if it were true. Base your life on as if it were true, because the good news is, it's true. So you can live like it. You've got all the power of God behind you. God wants you to succeed. Who cares who doesn't want you to succeed? Because God wants you to. It turned my life upside down in 1983. Actually, those two verses from chapter 2, the whole book of Colossians. So we have to know who we are first. Who we are in Christ. In chapters 1 and 2 is, you have this blessing in Christ, and you're complete in Him, and in all the blessings, firmly rooted, buried with Him in baptism, and all the things that it talks about is who we are in Christ, and what we do in Christ flows straight from it. Today's text, we're going to start in verse, we're going to do 12 through 17 today. And I'm going to start reading this for the sake of time. Up at the top, it's consider, it's therefore, because these things are true, because they're already true, because you're my son, act like it, I want you to be proud of it, because you're a citizen of the United States of America, be a good citizen. It's called position and state, our standing, what we have in Christ, every believer. And then our state is, how are we doing at the moment? Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead because they're dead. So, I'm going to try to quit saying act. So live as if though they were dead. We're going to jump into this where it says, you have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all. That's the theme of the book. And that should be the theme of your life and my life, is Christ is all. He's all. That's what matters. And He is in all. So here's today's text. And we sang it. So that ties us back to everything that happened previously. Christ is God. And in Him you're complete, so live that way. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love. Now the put on there is assumed, but it is directly connected to everything above, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So it starts out with so. And that's a big assumption. So, as those who have been chosen of God. This is to the born again ones. And the question is, are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Did you receive Him? And did He give you the power to become children of God? John 1:12. If you did receive Him, He did do that. It's not saying that makes it so. It's a real thing. It's doing it that makes it so. Many are going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, in Your name we cast out demons and we did miracles and we did wonderful things. And He's going to say to them, I never knew you. Not, I knew you and I forgot you. But I never knew you. You never got saved. So all this is to those who are saved. And the first and most important thing of today, and the most important thing of your destiny is, are you born again? So, as those who have been chosen of God, chosen. I was always one of the last kids chosen. I was always one of the last kids chosen. That's just the way it is. If you're not coordinated, you're not. If you're not fast, you're not. We've all probably, most of us anyway, have gone through that. As those who have been chosen of God, before time began, before there was a universe, He chose you. He chose you. We could talk about that for a long time. Chosen of God. Holy ones. Set apart. Set apart to Him for His possession. He wants you. And set apart for His use. To Him and for Him. He chose you. And you're holy. Holy. Holy and beloved. Who here has not felt unloved? It's one of our basic needs. But you are loved. You're holy if you've been saved. You're beloved. And Paul begins talking, but we want to highlight it one more time. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, something to think about this week. And then we have put on. Because these things are true, live them. We're not talking about being good because we should. We're not talking about good should. We're talking about it happened. And it's happening in me. And He's working through me. Put on these things. And it's really not a put on as in putting something down. The real word is to clothe yourself. To clothe yourself. This is your clothing that you should wear every day. Don't leave the house naked. I advise against it. First of all, people would laugh and that would be embarrassing. And then they would call the police and that would be inconvenient, to say the least. Put on clothing. What you should wear. How do they know it's a fireman? Because it's got fireman's clothing. How do you know it's a Christian? Because they're wearing the clothing that Jesus gave and gives. What was your clothing before you knew the Lord Jesus? What does the Bible say about that? All our righteousness was filthy rags, corrupt, evil. I would say gacky is our family word, but just nasty. Think of the beggar, and that was a pretty well-off beggar. I didn't have time to look for pictures of worse beggars. But this clothing that they wear is corrupt, and it's corrupting. It works into you. It works. It's evil, and it works evil in you. So put on the new clothing, which is not hand-me-downs. It's not hand-me-downs. And it's not anything that's remade. It's not, one commentator said, nothing remade from Judaism. It's entirely new clothing, straight from the wardrobe of heaven. Put on. And we're going to put on a heart. It's our inmost being, bowels in the King James. Not just something over the top, really, but in your innermost being. Put on a heart of, first of all, compassion. Compassion is being distressed at the problems of others. Compassion is caring. It doesn't mean that you have to solve it. It doesn't mean that you have to fix it. Some of us have that problem that we want to fix everything. The first thing on the list is to care. And you know, there's such a horrible world that it's hard to care. We get so used to things being so rotten. We get used to it. We're used to things now that 50 years ago, the church could not have imagined. I read yesterday that as of December, the government of Great Britain, in their passports, they're no longer going to put in their passport father or mother. They're going to put parent one and parent two. Anybody have any clue why that might be? It's coming. It's hard to not get used to things. Divorces, alcoholism, drug abuse, things that are just horrific, and we get used to them. We need to put on compassion. Compassion starts us towards helping. Compassion is what God wants to use in us, the compassion of Christ. Put on a heart of compassion. Put on a heart of kindness. Again, a heart of. Put on a heart of kindness. This means graciousness, tenderness, goodwill, friendship. Some of us kind of have this comedy thing down, this shtick of being tough and so forth. And well, for some of us, it's so obviously not true that that's what makes it funny. We're not to go around acting like we're tough. The reason we do that is because the world smashes us when we do. We don't have to be blind to it. We don't have to pretend like everything is okay. But compassion means we care. And kindness means we're sensitive to it. Treat people kindly, even though they don't treat you kindly. Put on a heart of compassion. Kindness. Put on a heart of humility. Or meekness. Lowliness of mind. Low-mindedness. Many of these are fruit of the Spirit as well. Put on a heart of humility. That's not what the world rewards. The world does not reward humility. They didn't reward Christ. They rewarded Caesar. Remember in your heart, brother, sister, that meekness does not equal weakness. Meekness does not mean I couldn't retaliate or I couldn't keep this from happening or I don't have the power or I don't have a clue. Meekness, that would be weakness. Meekness means I've got the power, I choose to not use it. That's what the Lord Jesus did. And every one of these, as I speak, you can think of, how did the Lord Jesus live each of these? Holy, how did He live that? Beloved, how was that true of Christ? A heart of compassion. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you had a heart of compassion. Kindness, humility, or meekness. This word comes from the taming of a wild horse. It means you don't use your rights. You have them, but you don't use them. A commentator that I read that I liked a lot said, two ways to combat this tendency. One is, what is it that you haven't received? What gift do you have, or what strong point do you have? What thing are you good at that you haven't received? The answer is none. It doesn't mean that we're ignorant of what we're good at. We know what we're good at, but remember where it comes from. It comes from God. That's number one. Number two is, well, how do you compare with God in that thing? If it's organization, well, how do you compare with God in organization? If it's being kind, how do you compare with God in being kind? And the commentator said, it's a long way from the sun to the top of the highest molehill, and really not much farther to the top of the lowest molehill. So our strengths and weaknesses don't really matter. It's not using our rights. Humility. Gentleness. The Lord Jesus was gentle. The opposite of self-assertiveness. The opposite of self-interest. Patience. Forbearance. It literally means long-suffering. Resolute refusal to retaliate. I won't retaliate. I won't retaliate. I won't get even. I won't. I won't. Long suffering. To suffer long under. It doesn't mean you don't get angry. It means you don't take actions as a result. We're to put on these things. We're to choose these actions, these attitudes in our hearts, long-suffering, some directed towards us, some directed towards how we treat others, bearing with one another. This is one we need to work on, as always in the church, bearing with, toleration, putting up with that brother who is so annoying that he just drives me crazy. Tolerating that sister or whoever it may be because of this habit they have or that habit they have or this thing they like to repeat or whatever. Bearing with. And that was the first thing in Ephesians that Paul says, bearing with. It's a continual thing. It's not that you bore with them. It's that you're bearing with. You're continually bearing with them. The first thing that non-Christians say about Christians is they can't even get along with each other. And it literally means to hold yourself back. Not in the sense of being uninvolved, but not retaliating. Bearing with. Forgiving, so that blends into forgiving one another. Notice the continuing tense. It's easy to forgive if it's my fault, I offended you, it's easy for me to forgive me. But that's not what it says. It says if you offend me, then I should forgive you. It's not talking about degrees of right and wrong. We're all sinners. We all need to bear with each other in this church. We all need to bear with. And we need to forgive. Even if you have a complaint, it doesn't say if you don't have a complaint or if your complaint isn't a good one. It says if you have a complaint, forgive. And it makes it worse because it says just as the Lord forgave you. Now, how specific is that? Did He forgive completely? Yes. Did He forgive forever? Yes. Did He keep bringing it up? No, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you don't. We're commanded to forgive each other. We're commanded that it needs to be a continuing forgiveness. We're told it doesn't matter if we have a legitimate complaint or not. It doesn't mean we can't speak to them about the complaint, but we're to forgive. We're commanded to forgive in the same way and to the same degree that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave us. Dare we not forgive each other? Dare we not forgive? Beyond all these things, put on love. And love here is like the belt. And I was trying to work of a way to bring some pants and a shirt up here and put these things on. And I thought, you know, it's going to be ridiculous and you're going to mess up the microphone. And so I didn't do that. But tomorrow when you put your clothes on, think about this. And as you put your belt on, think about love. What does the belt do? It adjusts things. It puts things in the right relationship to each other. And that's what love does. We do these things because of love. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. You can't love me on your own. I'm too hard to love. I'll just tell you. But through Christ, you can love me. It's the belt. It's the overcoat. It's the thing that completes the outset. Now, we're not talking about a feeling. We're not talking about just getting a warm feeling inside. If it's just a nice warm feeling inside, it could be you put your long underwear on too soon. It's talking about a decision based on what Christ did for me. And that's why I do it. Let the peace of Christ, and the word let comes up, not in the original, but it means the peace of Christ is to rule. It's such a gentle thing. Let His peace rule. One of perhaps the most misused verses in Christianity today. Oh, I had peace about that, so I did it. You'd be surprised the things that people tell us in counseling that they did it because they have peace about. Divorcing their spouse, whom they have no complaint against. Adultery. Not obeying the Lord in clear instances. I have peace about it. Well, so what if you have peace about it? God's peace is never going to lead you where His Word does not take you. Jonah was at perfect peace in the boat, sailing away from where God wanted him to be. When it says the word your, it's plural. Let His peace rule, brothers and sisters, in our hearts. If what you're doing, if what's being done to you is disturbing peace, the communal peace that we have, then something needs done. That's how the peace is to rule. It's not a, well, I'll see if I have peace about that. The Bible does not teach that. It teaches obedience to the Word of God. We were called in one body to this. This is our calling. And be thankful. Colossians talks about thankfulness in a lot of different places. I'm going to go back to peace for just a moment. The peace is to rule. And the figure is the umpire at the Olympic Games. Foul, that's a foul. You can't do that. And that's what the peace of God does in our relationships with each other. It can call a foul. And then you know that you need to do something. Or maybe you need something done to you. And the rest of this passage talks about that, actually. Be thankful is, I think, the only place in the New Testament where it says to be thankful. Everywhere else it says, give thanks. Give thanks, whether you feel like it or not. We're not talking about gritting our teeth and putting on these grim faces. We're talking about, I choose to let Christ work through me, though I'd rather not, frankly. I choose to let Him work. Let the Word of God richly dwell within you. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, the same parallel passage, it talks about being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it's the exact parallel of what we're talking about in Colossians. Singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. His Word is to dwell in us richly, not a little bit, not kind of. Not just hear it on Sunday mornings, but to dwell richly. To dwell richly within us. His peace is to rule. His Word is to dwell richly. Not like Kansas streams you see about now. The water is not dwelling there richly. It's barely there, if there is any. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a tidal wave. We're talking about putting yourself under the Word of God. We're talking about carrying Bible verses around with you, memorizing the Bible, just soaking yourself with the Word of God. When I used to read meters, I would carry Bible verses on cards with me and read them, because a lot of times you have a dead walk between this block and this meter and that meter over there, half a block away. And so you can read a verse on the way. Watch out for the dogs. There you go. You're reading it. You're memorizing it. You're thinking about it. It was more interesting even than that when I was on the driving routes, because I was young and I was driving out to Stafford reading verses, looking for traffic, writing verses, leading. Yeah. But you know, after a while, you accumulate a lot of them. Think about the Word of God. Let it dwell in you richly. God's not going to make you do this. This is your choice. And that's how we teach each other. With wisdom, not with our feelings, but with wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching is positive instruction. Admonishment is, brother, are you sure that's the right thing? This is not just a job of elders here. Because it says, richly dwell within you, and it means all of us. So this is partly your responsibility. If someone offends you, it is your responsibility to pray about it, find out what it says in the Word of God about it, and go talk with them. The elders don't fix everything. Let the Word of God dwell in you. There's a lot of different ways to do this. You can record it. You can buy Bible recordings. You can write it on cards. You can put verses above your desk. You can do things. And that's where the wisdom, that's where commentators suggested actually that that is what the filling of the Spirit is. It's just being filled with His Word. That's what the parallel passage in Ephesians says. But I will say that it is the Holy Spirit. It is not the holy emotion. Because you're filled with the Spirit doesn't mean necessarily that you're even happy. It just means that you're full of God. You're full of His Word, and He has His way in you. With all wisdom teaching, we need to be teaching each other. And admonishing is the negative instruction. That is so hard to do. Somebody admonishes me, well, I'll never do that ministry again. They don't like the way I did whatever it was that was, then I'll never do that again. Well, that's not very gentle, patient, bearing with, is it? We need to put up with each other, brothers and sisters. We need to bear with one another. Maybe the other brother is mistaken. Maybe you were doing the right thing in the right way and they just didn't know all the facts. Maybe they're immature. Maybe they don't know. Maybe a lot of possible maybes here. But we all need taught and to teach. And we all need to admonish and to be admonished. Teaching and admonishing one another. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and the commentators couldn't seem to agree on that. So I'm not going to make a big deal about it, except to say there are different kinds of music. There are different kinds of ways of praising the Lord. We spent 9 years in a place where they don't sing any of the songs we sing here. And they seem to do okay. If a person insists on just the old hymns, well, how do you expect they got along for the 1,500 years before those old hymns came around? They weren't always old hymns. There's psalms. There's hymns. There's spiritual. And it could signify this and that and the other thing. I don't know, but there are different ways to praise the Lord. I think it should have meaning. I think it should be more than one phrase repeated 37 times. I think it should be, of course, accurate to Scripture. But singing in our hearts, because the Word is dwelling in us. And His peace is ruling. And so we're singing with thankfulness. And then it goes on to say, whatever you do in word or deed, not just worship, but whatever you do. If you do it, notice it says in word or deed. So words are deeds. Don't say I was just saying because you weren't saying you were doing. Words are also doings. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's one more time, again and again. The theme of the epistle, the whole thing, over and over and over and over again, is it's about the Lord Jesus. Do it in His name. His name means Himself. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 27. To believe on Jesus' name is to believe in Him. We're baptized in His name. We proclaim His name. We give thanks in His name. We're persecuted in His name. We pray in His name. It's not a magical formula. It's not in Jesus' name, amen, and then He has to answer because we said it exactly right. That's not it at all. It means that I want His will. And I want His purpose. I want His way with my life in His name. And that's what our lives should be. There's power in that name. We're to do it all in His name. He is to be the center of our lives. It revolves around Him. He is the point of it. He is the creator of it. It is for Him. He is all. He is in all. We're to forgive as He has forgiven us. We're to let His peace rule in our hearts. His Word dwells richly. We do it in His name. We give thanks to Him. Over and over and over again, it talks about the Lordship, the sovereignty, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. And This is, brothers and sisters, the clothing that we're to put on every day. And I want you to think about this week, as you put your clothes on, and I assume you're going to be putting clothes on this week, you're putting on fresh clothes, not filthy rags. Think about the garment for your soul. You can't buy it. It was given to you. You can't alter it. It was made for you. It's not just being happy. It's not just emotions. But He paid a horrible price for this set of clothing for you. The King died to buy these clothes for you. Are they good enough for you? Yeah, they are. Thank you, Lord. Will you put them on? Then people will look at your beautiful clothes, and you put them on every day, and they'll be able to tell, like a child can tell a firefighter. They can tell that you're from Him. It's all about the King. I've been doing chess off and on through this. There's different scales for the value of chess pieces. This is Bobby Fischer's scale here. And it varies from situation to situation as to how much each piece is worth. But if you take a scale of a pawn being one, then the knight is about 3 points. So if you can trade a knight for 2 pawns, then you lost in that exchange, not the game necessarily. A bishop is worth more than a knight. People think knights are cool because they jump, but they're the weakest piece, actually. A rook is worth 5. So if you can trade your rook for 2 knights or whatever, then that's a good trade. The queen is worth 9, but actually 2 rooks are worth more than what the queen is. Anybody notice anything about that scale? King's not there. Because the king doesn't have a value. Because if you lose the king, the game's over. It's all about Christ. It started only through Him. And we can live only through Him as we take from Him and put it into practice as we put the clothes on each day. Remember and think about, have I put on compassion? Lord, and you can do this in the morning. In Ephesians, interestingly, It's the put on the spiritual warfare, put on the armor, the breastplate of righteousness. This is the clothes for everyday living. The compassion, the kindness, all these things. But it all comes from the King, and it's all for the King, and it's all about the King. Father, we worship You, and we thank You that You have given us this time together. And teaching, Lord, that has endured through the ages, that millions have had their lives transformed by the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for that. God, live it through us. Don't help us, Lord, because we can't help. We can't do it. But I pray You would give us hearts to let You do it and just let You do whatever You want and let You have the results. We thank You, Lord. We pray that You would make it obvious to others what we are by what we put on. We thank You for this food that we're about to eat, Lord, from You, as is everything. Bless it to our bodies. Give us strength through it to serve You, Lord, please. In Your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. And we give You thanks. Amen.